I'd like to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, from verse 41. Luke, chapter 2, from verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. But when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. I'll just pause there. I think what we've just read here is probably every parent's nightmare of having a missing child. And of course, it was a perfectly reasonable assumption that he's going to be with aunt or uncle or whoever. And in fact, they've not seen him. Whether they were particularly troubled because they know that this is a very special young man given to them by God, or whether this is just the natural yearning of a parent to have back their child, I don't know. But they return to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, where on earth do you begin looking for a child in Jerusalem? Imagine it said that you lost your child in London. Okay, maybe ancient Jerusalem wasn't as big as London. Let's say you lost your child in Clitheroe. Well, where on earth do you begin looking?
Sweet shop.
Anyway, they do find him. And now it was that after 3 days they found him. This was a long search. And of course they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Now, at first glance, it appears that he's a very dedicated pupil, learning all he can from these wise old men. I do wonder, though, if asking them questions is a way of getting them to think and listening to their answer, because we know in verse 47 he had plenty to say of his own, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, of course, it's actually quite a skill to ask the right question, but he's doing more than questioning and hearing what they say. He's actually offering his own answers, and these answers are so astoundingly wonderful and apt that these wise old men of the temple are astonished. Who has taught him? He's so young. Where has he got it from? Where has he come from? And of course, his parents are going to appear. And I think they're a godly pair of people, but I don't think they're considered anything special by the standards of the day. And of course, we know the answer. The scriptures over which I have no doubt they are discussing. He inspired them. The law, which these men would say they are guardians of, it was he that gave it to Moses. Not only does he know it all, but he understands how it should be rightly applied. They are talking to the original author. What a privilege they have. Of course, they may not have understood. In fact, I doubt they did understand that last bit. Although we do get the mother's reaction in verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. So we've got the scribes and so forth astonished by what he says, and there's an amazement in verse 48. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And some consider Joseph to die while Jesus is still a child. Perhaps we know he's alive at this point. And notice Mary's reaction is, you know, he's done it somehow to harm us. And yet Jesus says to them, "Why did you seek me?" There's something I think quite profound about that question.
In one respect, it's quite obvious why they sought him. They were worried and troubled. And yet, of course, he wants people to seek him. I wonder if he's getting them to think, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? There may be a contrast with the father, of course, in verse 49, which he's got, and the father Mary speaks of in verse 48, who's really his adopted earthly father. I am doing God's work. I am beginning and fulfilling the mission for which I came into the world. And he's teaching the teachers the truth. Some have suggested perhaps he was a less than perfect son here. After all, the parents do seem to be somewhat aggrieved by how he has behaved. And yet, there's no evidence that he said, I will be with you. Or that he ran away from them. In fact, he was there. And he says, but they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. That's an important comment. Because although Jesus is the King of Kings, and we were addressing that hymn to him before, and the Lord of Lords, when he came to earth, he came as the submissive and suffering servant, taking upon himself the nature of a bondservant. And of course, he is obedient to his earthly parents, not to the extent that he won't do his real father's work. If there's a clash ever between parental authority and God's authority, God always wins. But he has been submissive to Mary and to Joseph. And of course, that's important as well, because the commandments say, honour your father and mother. And for the mission of Jesus to be successful, for the sacrifice upon the cross to be accepted, he had to perfectly keep the law of God. Now, we know that he's teaching the law of God as a 12-year-old. In fact, he has to live the law of God as a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 30-year-old. Because when he was offered to God as that sacrificial victim, he had to be absolutely perfect, a lamb without blemish. So we've got here both this wonderful ability to teach, though he was by the world standards unschooled, but also we have a wonderful submission. He is subject to his parents' authority. We're told his mother kept all these things in her heart. I think Luke spoke to Mary about this incident. She recalled it years later, perhaps with a greater understanding then than she has now. And the chapter concludes by saying, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. And there is a sense, of course, in which although he was Almighty God, he was also a real human. I believe he had to learn to walk. As God, of course, he could have just come out of the womb and toddled around, and I think he learned to walk. And there is a sense in which he's learning to read, he's learning to write, he's learning the wisdom of the time. And yet we know from the beginning of the passage, he has entirely all the wisdom of God, that he can teach the old men of the temple a thing or two about the law in which they are considered experts. There's a couple of practical applications here. We need to put God's work before our loyalty to anyone else, number one. Number two, we should also submit to authority. Number three, we need to grow in wisdom and also in the favour of God and with men. And sometimes we can't do both. Sometimes we can. But to increase in wisdom and stature, or also to remain humble, which was the ultimate expression and summary of his time on earth. Incredible wisdom and knowledge, and yet wonderful humility and condescension. Even from Jesus as a 12-year-old, can we learn a great deal. Amen.